noticed every time you say that, it's about an hour. So I'm just going to say short. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And then we'll be going to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse 6 of Hebrews 10. In burnt offerings, that's verse 6 of Hebrews 10. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Then let us just turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, if you have your Bibles open, please read verse 15 with me. Let's read it again. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I want to talk to you for just a little while tonight on giving God the sacrifice of praise. Giving God the sacrifice of praise. You must praise God for yourself. No matter how many people are praising God around you or next to you, no one can praise God for you. You must praise God yourself. And no matter how many good thoughts you have, no matter how pleasant things seem to be in your mind, that is not acceptable. The praise and the sacrifice that God wants is the fruit of your lips. You say, well, I'm just not that type. I'm just a silent type. Well, if you wanted to count for God, then you've got to open your mouth and praise God for yourself. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to preach. Maybe I'll preach a little bit. Stretch that short out just a little bit farther here. If this text teaches anything, it teaches to praise God continually. He said, I will offer the sacrifice of praise continually, even the fruit of my lips. That means you must praise him when you don't feel like praising him. You must praise him when you're tired. You must praise him when you're weary. You must praise him when you're disgusted. You must praise him when you've got a bad headache. You must praise him even when you've had a bad day. You must still give him the sacrifice of praise. Three times God says in his word, in Exodus 23:15, Exodus 34:20, and Deuteronomy 16:16, three times God says, none shall come before me empty. Everyone is to bring an offering. None is to appear before the Lord empty. You've got to praise God when there's no chill bumps running up and down your spine. When there's no goosebumps, you still got to praise Him. When there's no rushes of the Spirit, no loud music, no jerks and jumps and leaps, you still got to praise Him. For He wants the sacrifice of your lips. He wants you to praise Him continually. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There may be someone sitting next to you sometime who is praising God. And you wonder, are they really for real? I mean, they may be praising God sort of radical. They may be sort of getting on your nerves. And you wonder, now, I wonder if they're really feeling all of this. Listen, that person that's praising God may feel more like crying than they do praising. But because the Word of God demands that we cannot come before Him empty, we've got to praise Him even when we feel like crying. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Now, we all know that when Christ offered Himself, He came in the volume of the book. He removed all necessity of bringing any other offerings. Whenever Christ was sacrificed, when He gave His body, He fulfilled every prophecy. Amen. Every type, every shadow, everything that was in the Old Testament, which was just a shadow of things to come, they were fulfilled in Christ. All the doors of the inner court, the outer court, oh yes, every trumpet, every bowl, every vial, every incense, every wine, every sheepskin, every goatskin, it all speaks of a shadow of someone that was to come. But when the shadow became substance, then there was no longer need for us to bring an offering such as an animal. Oh yes, back in those days, everyone was required to bring some type of offering. You could bring a bullock, a lamb. You could bring a turtle dove. You could bring a pigeon. And for those that were too poor for any of these things, you could bring fine flour and meal and different things and offer it to God. But oh, when Jesus came, He fulfilled all of the law, all of the prophecies that were spoken of Him. And no longer do we have to bring an animal for a sacrifice. But we are still priests. Every believer here is a priest. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. Now, if we are all priests, how many believe we are? Then we must all bring an offering. Oh, hallelujah. Every one of us must offer an offering if we're all priests. But we have no need to bring a lamb or a bullock or a goat or a pigeon. Christ's blood is sufficient. But God says to every heart, since there is no need to bring an animal anymore, just bring me a good praise, Lord, and lay it out on the altar, and I will accept it as an acceptable sacrifice. Just bring me a good hearty hallelujah, a good glory to God, praise the Lord, and lay it out on the altar, and I will accept it. It will be an acceptable sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah. God will receive our praises. He will receive our hallelujahs as sacrifices. But remember, in the Old Testament, when they brought a lamb. They could not bring a dead lamb. No matter how big it was, no matter how white it was, they had to bring a live lamb. It had to be pulsating. Oh, yes, it did. It had to be alive. Blood had to be rushing through its veins. It had to be a warm, live sacrifice. And God's telling His church tonight, don't bring me no dead hallelujahs. Don't bring me no dead praise the Lord. Bring me a live sacrifice, a live praise. Something's alive and pulsating. Bring it, that kind of offering to me, and I will accept it. Woo! Hallelujah. Let me preach Oklahoma style. Go ahead. Take this coat off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, here's what's happening. In Malachi chapter 1, you'll read there in verse 8 that God rebuked the priesthood because they were offering to God sacrifices that not even their own governor would accept. They were bringing blind offerings, crippled offerings, lame sacrifices. They were bringing and trying to offer them to God. Oh, I hear a lot of lame. Hallelujah. I hear a lot of lame. Praise the Lord. Isn't it strange how mamas can get so loud at children? And sometimes at husbands. And husbands can get so loud sometimes at wives. But when we come to God's house, we're almost mute. We're afraid to lift up our voices in praise to God. But God don't want no lame hallelujahs. He don't want no crippled praise the Lord. He wants them to be alive and pulsating from our souls. He wants a praise. Woo! Hallelujah. I've heard a lot of those. I saw a lot of those lame ones. Haven't you? Crippled. Blind. They were trying to offer them. And God said, why don't you offer them to your governor? He won't accept them. And our God, who is worthy of all of our praise, He's not going to accept a blind, crippled, lame. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But He wants it to be alive. He's wanting it to be on fire. Oh, yes. You say, well, I'm just not that type. Well, go ahead and pull your glasses down and look over your glasses and look as dignified as you can. I'll put up with you doing that. But every once in a while, you're going to have to put up with me coming across your freshly shined shoes and praising the Lord and worshiping Him. He's done lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He set my feet on a king's highway. He raised me up when I was down, turned me around, wrote my name down in the Lamb's book of life. I've got something to praise Him for. Woo! Holy, 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 holy. He said, well, I just don't want to get too excited. Well, they get excited down at the ball game, don't they? And over at the racetrack. And down at the rock and roll dives. Oh, yes, they do. Amen. Not long ago, I was having to stay at a place and preach. And about three blocks down, they had a what they call a disco. Is that it? Disco. And they had that thing wound up. I couldn't sleep for the noise. Amen. Sister Rich was there with me. Amen. Boom, boom. And that wasn't bad enough. Amen. Pulled up the next morning. Amen. At a stoplight. And here comes some wacko. Amen. With some kind of a music box in his car. Amen. That thing just boom. Boom, boom. Amen. My car just sitting there vibrating while his was vibrating. Hey, if the world can do that, then those of us that's been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, we can praise Him. For the Bible said, let the
redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy.
Well, I told myself I was just going to get up here and run through this real fast and go look at those slides, but I ain't going to be able to do it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I owe him too much praise. Hallelujah. You remember reading in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, where, you know, that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken away out of Israel. The Philistines got it first, and then they moved it out of their place. And finally, David decided that he wanted to go down and bring the Ark of God, amen, back into the camp of Israel. They brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David. Amen. They brought it back to Jerusalem. Now, that meeting started out as a formal, that procession started out very formal. Read it and see if I'm not telling you right. They started bringing this Ark. They'd go 6 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they'd stop and sacrifice to God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they'd stop and sacrifice to the Lord. Quite a formal thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then stop and sacrifice. After a while, David must have hit his mind. And he said, hey, I can't take this no more. This thing is the presence of God. Well, we've got this ark. We've got God with us. If we can get this back into the camp of Israel, we'll have the presence of the Lord with us. I can't take this 6 paces and then stop and there were 6 steps. And he broke out and began to dance before that ark with all of his might. Oh, hallelujah. The Ark of the Covenant was coming back to Israel. Hear what I'm telling you. Hear what I'm telling you. The ark was moving back, amen, to the camp of Israel. And David discovered something that became a key in David's life. He found out if you would praise the Lord, you could get inside where the blessings of the Lord was at. You can hear him saying to the people, I know that all of you have feared to approach God without blood. But I found another thing that you can bring to God that'll let you in. You can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If you'll bring a praise, you can get inside. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to hurry here. Praise the Lord. If you will praise the Lord, he'll come wherever you're at. He'll get in the car with you. Ride down the interstate if you'll praise him. If you're going to that job you can't hardly stand, if you'll just start praising him, woo, he'll come and get in the car with you. I know I'm telling it right because I've been there. If you'll praise him, he'll come to your sick room. If you'll praise him, he'll break into the jailhouse like he did for Paul and Silas in the midnight hour. If you'll praise him, he'll come to the cancer ward where you're at. If you'll praise him. Oh yeah, Paul and Silas down in the Philippian jail. You know, there's always been a debate on who was the greatest disciple, Peter or Paul. And it's still going on. Well, I know we got all of our Pauline epistles and all the great teachings and writings and governments from the Apostle Paul. But remember, they never could build a jailhouse strong enough to hold Peter overnight. He'd pray his way out of there. Paul spent many nights in prison. But when he wrote to us, he never would claim to be a prisoner of any jailer.
Every time he penned to us from the jail cell, he'd say, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the midnight hour, when Paul and Silas had their backs bleeding and bruised, with their feet fast in stocks and bonds, at midnight they began to pray and sang praises unto the Lord. You know what happened? God got that Philippian jail by the foundation and shook it until every prison cell door opened up and the prisoners were free, and even the jailer was saved that night. Listen, folks, if we want to have church, if we want to see the lost saved, not only do we have to have holiness standards, not only do we have to go by doctrine, but we've got to have a church that's alive with praise. I'm not talking about this charismatic junk. I'm talking about a real praise that comes from the soul. If we want to see the lost saved, I'd like to see the worship reinstated back in the church once again, where God's people would rise up and praise the name of the Lord. Several years ago, preaching a revival in Pasadena, California, the pastor there told me, said, Brother Rich, while you're here, we have a sister from our church that's in the cancer ward with terminal cancer, and said she has no known living relatives, and the only friend she has is the people of the church. And said, I'm just wondering if you'd like to visit her sometime while you're here. So I took her name, her room number, got up one morning and prayed, bookmarked the 91st Psalm. That's always a good one. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'd planned on going there and reading her some scripture and praying with her and trying to lift her up. When I got to her cancer ward and found her room, I saw a little woman, skin stretched across bone. Doctors had already given up on her. Saw a putrefying yellow color to her skin. I saw a woman, her lips cracked, no doubt from fever. I saw a woman that had suffered. I walked in and I told her who I was. She said, oh, you're the preacher that's preaching revival at my church? I said, yes, I am. She said, come over closer to the bed. I moved over closer. She said, son, you're in the greatest business in the world. Would you do something for me? I said, I will if I can. Said, tell them everywhere you go that the blood of Jesus really cleanses from sin. Woo! So, for that little woman who went on just a few days after I visited her, I'd like to tell you folks here tonight that the blood of Jesus really cleanses from sin. Hallelujah. So we kept on talking. We kept on speaking to one another. And I kept trying to, you know, get my good scripture in there. And finally I got down to the real point that I come to discuss with her. I said, I guess it gets lonely in here. They tell me that you don't have any relatives that are living. And she said, well, that's what they tell me. I don't have no known relatives. But said, I got a friend that comes in here every day and every night. And I found out this woman knew more about God than I'd ever learned up to that point. She said, here's what I can do. She said, I can lift my hands and start praising him, and he'll come to my room with me. I said, you can do what? She said, I don't care what time of the night it is or what time of the day. Said, if I lift my hands, I said, what do you mean? She said, like this. And with extreme effort, She raised two little bony arms and hands toward heaven and started praising Jesus. She said, "Can't you feel him? He's here." I said, "I sure can. Oh, hallelujah. He'll come and sit by your sick bed if you'll praise him." You say, "You don't know my circumstances." No, he may not take you out of all of your circumstances, but he'll be a thermostat in your fiery furnace. Oh, yes, he will. And when the heat gets too hot, just start praising him. And the Lord will regulate the heat. And you'll not be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation. The Lord will make a way that you may bear it. Y'all not feeling as good as I'm feeling. I'm talking about praising him. When you feel that you can't take one step more, praise him. When you feel that you can't hold your head up one more time, lift it and praise him. When you feel that the enemy has got you backed into a corner and you cannot ever get out, praise him. Woo! Sacrifice of praise. See, I just don't feel good. Praise him anyhow. My mother, I lost her last May. May the 5th, my mother died. She'll be a year this coming May. My mother had a stroke. Lost complete control of herself. All she could do was raise one hand, her right hand. For 10 days she was in a coma and had ongoing seizures. 10 days, 10 nights, ongoing seizures. At the end of 10 days, she started rallying out of it some. And of course, nurses, people that knew her condition, started coming. Because she acted like she was wanting to speak. Everybody was wondering what my mother would say after being in a coma for 10 days and 10 nights. And moving up close, we didn't know whether she was going to say anything or not. But she acted like she was wanting to speak. And pretty soon, she raised that one hand, opened those lips, and the first words that my mother said was, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." When you can sacrifice a praise, the Lord will come where you're at. Hallelujah. Some of you are afraid to praise him. You're afraid of what your neighbor's going to say. Hallelujah. I get all kinds of mail, brother. You do too. I don't know how they get all of us, our preachers' names. All these movements and different kind of doctrines, they get our name. And I don't know why they send all that mail, but they send it. And I get mail on 5 steps on how to get up when you're down. Order the tape on 3 steps. To keep going after you get up. And another one is to how to worship God in private of your home. How to worship God in public. Oh, how to worship God on your job. You hear what I'm telling you tonight? Listen to me. Oh, you can study the Hebrew and Greek. Amen. You can try to get out the originals. I hear these preachers talking about in the original. How would you know, sir? You never did see one of the originals. How do you know what is in the original like that or not? But they talk about in the originals. It says this and that. Study the Greek and the Hebrew. Amen. Study all of these tapes. Go to all the seminars and workshops on how to praise God. But let me tell you something. When you're going down the last time, and a hand from out of nowhere reaches down and lifts you up, you don't have to have nobody's lessons to praise God. Your mouth will come open and you'll say, "Thank you, Jesus." Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, when he lifts you out like that, you don't know whether it's Hebrew or Greek. All you know is Jesus came when you needed him in the darkest hour of your life. Amen. That hand come and lifted you out. You're going to praise him. You're going to worship him. You want to be sanctified? Praise him. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Praise him. You want to be blessed in your going out and you're coming in? Praise him. You want to be blessed in the country and in the city? Praise him. But sometimes it's easier to lay a $20 bill or even a $50 check on the altar than it is to open your mouth and give him the sacrifice of praise. But David said, "Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my lips." Oh, when you can praise him, when other folks are talking about you, running you down, amen, trying to blackball you, and you still got to praise. Hallelujah. When you preach holiness, amen, you don't always get those handshakes. I've got a few handshakes that had a $100 bill in them. Got a few of them. Woo. Sure have. I've had some. When I went to shake hands with them, they wouldn't even shake hands with me. Mm-hmm. I've got through preaching holiness. Supposed to be there 2 weeks. Went from Sunday to Wednesday night. Pastor got up and said, "This is the end of it. Revival's over." Because a preacher preaches that old-fashioned separation from the world. It's over. It's over. The reason it was over, he had a daughter there, a grown girl about 22 or 3, that looked, I don't guess she was any kin to Jezebel, but she sure looked a whole lot like her. And had jewelry all over and earrings and makeup, you know, and blue or purple or green or something like that. You know, don't y'all get so quiet. And it was his daughter, and I didn't know it. And I went back and asked her at the altar call. I said, "Young lady, would you like to come and give your heart to God?" I said, "I'll have you know I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost." And all I said was, "Well, you got a different brand than I got." Shut me out. 1,500 miles away from home. So, "Oh, I'd like to be like Brother Rich. You don't have to worry about where you preach. Don't have to worry about getting a place to preach. Just go wherever you want to and preach." Let me tell you something. Amen. There's been some places I've had to come through to get where I'm at when I had to praise him when I didn't feel like praising him. Amen. 1,500 miles from home. Sister Rachel, I'm telling you the truth. Not even $1 in my pocket. Only some change in my pocket. Staying out in a little old trailer. A little old teardrop trailer out there. Amen. Staying out in a little trailer. And everybody drove off and left us. Left us outside the church. No offering, nothing. Just closed her down. What do you do in a case like that? Let me tell you what to do if you ever get in this dilemma. I stood outside that church after the last car drove off. I lifted my hands and I said, "I thank you, Lord, that you've counted me worthy and put me in the ministry. I thank you, Lord, because you've called me to preach your eternal word. I give you praise, Lord." Sister Rich, you can talk to her. There's a man came out of the shadows and said, "Are you preaching revival here?" And I said, "Yes, I am." I was. "I'm not now. I got closed out tonight." The man said, "Well, I didn't get to come, but I brought you an offering." Ooh. You got to praise him. You got to praise him. That man gave me some food in a box and plus some money in my pocket. I didn't know what it was. All I knew is it folded. And that was more than I had before. Didn't matter if it's just a dollar. I'd praise God for that. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, you've got to praise Him. When it's not going good, you've got to praise Him. You've got to worship Him. Amen. You got to sacrifice a praise continually. How often is that? All the time. Woo. So, I'm a human being too, you know, Brother Collins. And we got in the car. Well, before we got in the car, I blessed this man. Hugged him up a little bit and blessed him real good. And he turned and walked away. And, I really blessed him. I said, the Lord bless you. I don't know how many times I said that. The Lord bless you. The Lord repay you. I don't know how many times I said that. We got in the car and drove about 3 blocks and come underneath a bright street light. I'm human too, you know. I pulled over and stopped. I took that money out. I said, Sister Rich, count this money. You know what? If I'd have stayed all week at that church, and they'd gave me a regular week's offering of about what you normally got, wouldn't have been no more than what that man gave me. I'm telling you, you got to praise Him. Hallelujah. Whenever they told Sister Rich, said, you got a tumor in you the size of a small cantaloupe. What are you doing in a case like that? If you got to sacrifice a praise continually, then you still got to praise Him. Lord, I'm still breathing. I may have a tumor, but you still left me here among the living. Oh, you're awful quiet. Hallelujah. I tell you, we owe Him a praise. Doctor told Sister Rich, just went to the doctor for a little checkup. And he told her, said, this tumor has got a great possibility of malignancy. Won't know till I get it out of there. But all we can do is try to take it out. Devil said, you're through preaching for a while. Could lose your wife. Could lose what little bit you have here for doctor bills. What are you doing in a case like that? Turn around and say, devil, when I came to Jesus, I was broke, busted, and disgusted. And now it can't be no worse than it was when I came to Jesus. Hallelujah. We just praised Him. The day that Sister Rich went for surgery, we worshiped the Lord and praised Him. Say, Brother Rich, isn't that hard to do? He said, do it. Sacrifice a praise continually. Doctor, after surgery, came out to where my family and I was waiting in the waiting room and said, it's a bad report. Said, I'm almost sure it's malignant. Won't know for sure till we get the test back. What do you do in a case like that? Grasped my son's hand. Grasped my daughter's hands. Got my family around me. The Lord has sure been good to us. Oh, like Job of old, when everything he had was gone, his cattle and everything that he had just fell down and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed, 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 blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm just a couple more things and I'll be finished. They told us just a little while, we'd know in a day or so whether Sister Rich's tumor was cancerous, whether it spread into her blood. And let us know. My Lord, that doctor called me in and said, preacher, said, look at me. I said, yes, sir. He said, the test come back. It's all negative. He's taking you, going with your wife and preach. Boy, we've been preaching too. I mean, we've been preaching.
388 times year before last. I don't know how many last year, about that many last year. It looks like it's going to be more than that this year if the Lord gives me strength. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him. Hallelujah. He's been too good to me not to praise Him. Amen. You say, well, I'm just going to sit here reserved. That's up to you. But don't you tell me that I can't praise Him. Some of you folks, if you do get to heaven, you're going to have a heart attack if you get there. Whenever that multitude that no man can number, whose voices, amen, sounds like many waters and many thunderings, when they utter their voices, and those 24 elders cast their crowns down at the feet of Jesus, and a praise begins to raise, amen, holy, 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 the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. What are you going to do when you get there? If you can't even praise Him here. I'm going to get used to it. Hallelujah. Now if I was living down in the gutter, then I'd preach repentance, then praise. No use coming out here and just going through a form. Brother Collins, we must praise Him from our heart. The 150th Psalms, last verse, verse 6, gives some folks an excuse not to praise Him. It said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you're not breathing, we don't expect no praises from you tonight. If you're not breathing, you've got a good enough excuse, amen, not to praise Him. For the dead praise not the Lord. But oh, if you're breathing, if the blood's still warm in your veins, say, yes, but look what I'm into. I tell you what, if you go to praise Him, God will get you out of it. He'll get you out of your problems. He'll get you out of your financial straits if you worship Him and praise Him from your heart. I'm closing now, but I just don't think we're really doing Him justice tonight by not praising Him, by not worshiping Him. I'm in the holiness churches. I preach for the holiness churches. They are my people. I love them. But I'm going to tell you something. We have let the charismatics and the loose living liberals steal our worship from us. My grandmother, she would not know her name if she saw it written up here in big letters. She could not read nor write. But I'll tell you what she could do. She could pray and worship. I remember one time she was visiting us. Corn was about, oh, maybe on the farm, maybe just about head high. And my dad heard something down there breaking down corn. He sent my brother down and said, a hog or something got in the cornfield. Better go down and see what's going on. Got down there, Grandma shouting, breaking over corn stalks. Oh, hallelujah. But when she walked into my bedroom after not being able to keep anything on my stomach for 14 days, when polio was rampant in the country, and they'd stand me up on my feet and I couldn't stand up, and my grandmother walked into my room and knelt down beside my bed and kissed my brow and looked up to her God and said, I'll not eat another bite of food nor drink another drop of water till you come and raise this child up. She said she left the room twice that night just for necessity of life, right back on her knees. Whenever daylight came, my grandmother was still praying and my condition was worsened, they said. And it looked like her prayers wasn't doing any good. My dad came in, her son. My dad came in and said, Mom, I'm going to have to take Don to the hospital and see if I can get some help for him. He's dying. My grandmother said, give me just a few minutes more. I'm just about there. Oh, hallelujah. Woo!
My mother was clearing away the breakfast dishes off of the table. Kind of, I can't explain it. But my grandmother's prayers reached into the heavenly world, and the Lord reached down and raised me up, and that leg that I couldn't stand on straightened out, and I got up out of the bed. Had one of those houses you could run through all the bedrooms like this, round and around. I come out of there running and jumping, and Grandma right in behind me. She made her way right out on that porch. My grandmother was ahead. Heavy woman, she made her way out on the screened-in porch. Them old boards was a rotten out there, and she's a snapping boards, but she was a praising her God. Let me tell you something. If you'll praise Him, He'll help you. Let us stand and give Him a praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.